Amen. Well, it's exciting times to live in, is it not? And the book of the Revelation is given to us so that we would be found watching, alert, ready to go. Amen. And living for the Lord. Revelation chapter number 13 is where we are once again this evening. Revelation chapter number 13. And we're going to continue in this chapter tonight from verses 11 to 18. Verse 11 says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for a time tonight where we can glimpse into the future, where we can see, Lord, a glimpse of the future to come, where we can, Lord, know that you are seated upon your throne and Lord, you are in under full control of all things that are at hand. Thank you, Lord, that we can rejoice in your wisdom, in your power, in your plan for the ages. Thank you, Lord, that we can be helped tonight to not be distracted, to not be sidetracked, to not be fooled about all that is taking place in these last days. Lord, help us now, we pray, through the Holy Spirit of God, as he teaches us your word. May the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue in chapter number 13, remember this morning we looked at the first beast that rose up out of the sea. Revelation chapter 13 focused so far on the character of the Antichrist. Remember, we are looking at different personalities, groups, and characters that will exist during this 7-year period of judgment. And thank the Lord, as Christians, you and I will not be here for that time. But we were reminded this morning that the stage is being set for these events to unfold. Events are taking place and steps are being made today to prepare the way for the Antichrist. We saw this morning how the Antichrist is the devil's Superman. He will be a world hero that will arise, a peacemaker with supernatural powers, with a lying tongue that will deceive the world, and the world in fact will bow down and worship him. This morning we looked at the rise of the Antichrist, and this evening we're going to look at the rise of the false prophet. Notice verse 11. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." The first beast was the Antichrist. The second beast is the false prophet. Now we'll see that obviously as we continue on. The Bible is very clear on who these characters are, because we will see in the end, amen, that Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. Amen. You see, the Lord is in control, but understand what's taking place. Before the kingdom of the Lord comes to the earth, before the Lord returns to establish his visible kingdom on the earth, the devil will seek to establish his own kingdom. And it is a counterfeit kingdom. In fact, the devil, what he does is mimic and copy the Lord in order to imitate Christ and fool the world. Now, as we move on this evening, before we look at our first point tonight, understand what we see. You see, the devil's goal is to direct worship before himself. He desires the worship of the world. He desires that the world of man would not worship God, but would worship him. That's what he wanted in the very beginning. Remember, he was lifted up in pride, and he said, "I will ascend to the very throne of God." Now, he's still seeking to do that. In fact, Satan is so deluded, he does not understand the actual plan of God and his final destruction. He's so deluded that he thinks he will win. And that's the ferocity of which he is working today. You see, the stage is being set. And the devil seeks to copy God. Now, we know from our faith and in our Bibles that our God is a triune God. Amen? The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, don't you see something happening in the Word of God tonight? What do we see? We see that God is the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here in the Bible tonight, we see the unholy Trinity, the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. You see, Satan will have his unholy Trinity in a desire to mock God, to imitate Christ, and to direct the world's worship towards himself. Now, this morning we saw how the Antichrist will come on the scene like a Superman, and the next character, here in chapter number 13, we see will come and direct the world to worship the Antichrist. This is the false prophet's ministry. He will be a religious leader. He will be the religious figurehead of the world. Remember in Matthew chapter 24, during the Olivet Discourse, the Lord said, "Beware of false prophets and false Christs." Now, would you agree with me today? There are many false prophets in the world already. There are many false Christ. You see, the apostasy of the day in which we live in is a lead up to the great apostasy that will happen during the tribulation. We need to understand that as Christians, the stage is being set. The great falling away is preparing for the rise of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now, the interesting lesson for us in these verses is that the false prophets of today can be identified by the same description of the one false prophet which will come and rise up during the tribulation. And God gives us some identifying details of this one false prophet that will be the spokesman for the Antichrist. So briefly tonight, we're going to look at his personality, secondly, his power, and then his performance of the false prophet. Notice, first of all, tonight, the personality of the false prophet. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Here we see another beast. The word "another" here means another of the same kind. Just like the Antichrist was from the devil himself, so will the false prophet be also. He will rise up with power and authority. But notice, unlike the Antichrist in verse 11, this beast is described as a lamb. Do you notice that in your Bibles this evening? He had two horns like a lamb. You see, unlike the Antichrist, who will come with authority and power and an impressive stature, the false prophet will come as a meek and humble and lowly little lamb. That's how he will come. He will come to prominence as if he is a harmless figurehead. You see, the Antichrist will be seen as a powerful leader, and the false prophet will be seen as a meek and gentle religious leader. That's his deception. He will come quietly, meekly, humbly, gently. The world will not have a clue that this man is not from God. But the Bible tells us where he is from, does it not? Notice the end of verse 11. "And he spake as a dragon." Now that's important. You see, the Bible tells us that the false prophet is indeed what? A wolf in sheep's clothing. He comes as a lamb, white and pure and meek and lowly, but within he is a ravening wolf. He speaks as a dragon. And notice that his true nature is not revealed by how he appears or his manner, but it is revealed by what he says. Now that's important, because as we look at the apostasy of the day, as we realize there are false prophets in the world today that claim to be Christians, we need to realize that they too cannot be identified by how they appear. Not at all. In fact, some of the most deceiving false teachers in the world today look as clean as a Christian as they can be. Absolutely. Spotless clean. Spotless white. They are humble, so to speak. They are meek and lowly in their mannerism. Yet we need to understand that they cannot be identified by how they appear. But indeed, just like the false prophet, they can be identified how? By what they say. By what they speak. You see, on the outside, they might be as clean as they can be, but on the inside, they are, in fact, led of the devil. They are led into error. They might have all the charm of the Pope and all the outward religious appearance of the Pope, the figurehead of the Roman Catholic world, and now becoming the figurehead of many other denominations. They might have the charm of the Pope. They might have the charisma of Joel Osteen, or the popularity of Rick Warren, or the smooth tongue of Joseph Prince. And they might wear the latest fashions. Amen? Yeah. They might have the grandest auditoriums. But remember, how do we identify a false prophet? It's not by how they appear on the outside, or their manner, or their personality, but it's what they say that reveals them to be of the Lord or of the devil. Amen. Now, as the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover. Absolutely. You can't judge a book by its cover. Now, how do you judge a book? By what it says. Amen? You open it up, you have a read, and then you check it out before you buy it. Now, let me just say this. Unfortunately, many Christians are so gullible, they walk into so-called Christian bookstores, they see all the flashy colours, the nice graphics, the big smiles on the front cover, and they say, wow, that must be a good book about living by grace. That must be a great book about the future end time events. Wow, that must be a fantastic book about living out God's purpose and trying to work that out in 30 or 40 days. Amen? But yet, what does the Bible say? Hey, don't judge a book by its cover. You need to look into what is being said. Does the words of that teacher or the words of that book line up with the Word of God? You see, the false prophet speaks as a dragon. That's how he's identified from where he in fact originates. Let me encourage you, church family. Beware of what you watch on the TV. Everything looks good on the TV. That's why it's on the TV. Amen? Grand auditoriums, an eloquent speaker, wearing the latest fashions, wooing his audience with his eloquent speech. And yet suddenly he gets excited and goes on a rant and a rumble. And unfortunately, the average Christian doesn't know that that contradicts the very truth of the Word of God. How much do we need to be in His Word? Amen? Amen. We need to know God's Word. And brethren, if we're not in church, if we're not spending time in the Word of God, we're going to seek food from other places. As Christians, we're hungry. The Bible says, as a newborn babe desireth the sincere milk of the Word. If we're not feeding on the Word, we're still going to be hungry and we're going to look for other places to feed. The internet, for example. The radio channels. I can't recommend to you any Christian radio channels. Unfortunately, turn that off. Put in maybe some preaching, some good preachers on a CD. And yet the internet, the radio and the television set, are filled with false prophets. They're popular. They're attractive. But the average Christian cannot discern what they're saying is false. The only way we can discern is to study the Word of God. Amen? Remember the Bereans? Amen? They were commended because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things be so. That's what we need to do. Absolutely. We need to stay away. We need to understand that the appearance of a teacher or a religious leader or a preacher, a pastor, may look good on the outside, and you may like his personality, but what is he saying? Can you discern error from truth? And if you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can, then you need to stay away. Amen? You need to stay away. Get your food from the right place, the local New Testament church. That's why God gave us a church. And church family, understand something, that today what we learn in Revelation 13 is that the stage is being set for the rise of the Antichrist and the rise of the false prophets. The false prophets today are paving a way for the one false prophet to arise. That's the reason why we see such wickedness taking place. We need to be in the Word. We see that this individual will appear on the world stage as a gentle, meek, loving, kind religious leader. He will attract the world through his pleasing speech and personality, but he will not speak for God because he is speaking for the devil himself. Wow. What a revelation. What a revelation. How we need to be careful today. Notice we've seen his personality. Secondly, let's look at his power. His power, the power of the false prophet. Now, look with me in verse number 12. Revelation 13, verse number 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now notice here, in verse number 12, where his power comes from. Excuse me, chapter 13 and verse 12. That's right. Notice where his power comes from. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Now, where did the Antichrist power come from? From the dragon, from the devil. So where does the false prophet's power come from? From the devil. Let me ask you the question, if Satan can empower the false prophet in the tribulation with his power, do you think that the devil knows how to empower his false prophets today, yes or no? Absolutely. Now we see the power of the false prophet. Notice in your Bibles that his power will come from the same source. He will be satanically empowered. And he will be empowered for a purpose. Notice verse 12. And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Notice the purpose of the false prophet. He is empowered by Satan to do what? To bring the whole world together to worship the Antichrist. To worship the beast. That is his purpose. And what we see here in the Word of God is a formation of a one world religion. The false prophet will in fact bring the world together to worship one God. But it won't be the God of the Bible. It will be the God of this world, the devil himself. That is his purpose in the tribulation. You see, the Antichrist, on one hand, will solve the world's political problems. He will come as a peacemaker, deceivingly, but then the false prophet will come to solve the world's religious problems. He will be the religious figurehead. He will be the one who will be the greatest supporter of the Antichrist. Remember, the Antichrist will come and there will be a peace agreement between Israel and Palestine. But that kind of agreement cannot occur unless there is a deeper spiritual agreement. You see, the false prophet will bring unity among the nations. Not only politically will there be unity, but spiritually there will be unity. He will unite all the religions of the world under one faith. And the Bible tells us that men and women of every religion, all around the world, will worship the Antichrist under the leadership of the false prophet. That is his goal. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. That is his goal. See, this man will solve the problems between the religions of the world. And there will be one day a one world religion. Now remember, the conflict between the Jews and the Arabs has been going on ever since biblical times, amen? Absolutely. That is a long, enduring conflict, ever since Abraham, amen? Isaac and Ishmael. And the reality is, a problem like that won't be solved easily. It will require supernatural intervention. And that's what the false prophet will accomplish under the power of the devil himself. Now today, the Jews and the Arabs, they still hate each other, don't they? I was reading up on Brother David Cloud's Friday's news notes, and he put a quote in there from Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who said this week that Israel will not survive another 25 years. This religious Muslim leader has prophesied that the nation of Israel will not exist in 25 years' time. That's how great the hatred is between the Arabs and the Jews. But understand that during the tribulation, the false prophet will find common ground to unite everyone. That's amazing. Under the power of the devil himself. You see, in the eyes of the world, he'll be the greatest religious leader ever known. He will be the one to bring peace and unity across the world. Now, as we understand what will take place in the tribulation, we get a better idea of understanding what's taking place today, do we not? You see, there is a cry today for not only all Christian denominations to come together, but also all religions to come together, to cast away our differences and to come together and unite under one unified God and banner. And let me remind you this evening what we've learnt in the Word of God, that this movement is not a movement from God. It is a movement from the devil himself. It is not from the Lord. It is not with God's blessing. It is the plan and purpose of the devil to unite every single person on the face of the planet in one religion, one worship, and that worship will be directed where? To himself. To Satan himself. And that movement towards a one world religion is frighteningly taking place today. Now we call that movement the ecumenical movement. A call to all Christians to join together universally and get involved with one another and cast aside our differences for the sake of unity. Now, if you joined us during this series, you would have remembered the video presentation we quickly saw on the screen when we looked at the Catholic Church, when the Pope gave a presentation to Kenneth Copeland's Heretic Church in America. Okay, the winds have changed. And remember, the Pope was sitting in the Vatican and very meekly, very mildly, very smoothly speaking in Italian and sharing his heart with the world of Christians. And he told the story of Joseph. And he said, we need to be like Joseph and his brothers. We need to come back together and give each other a holy hug. And he said, brethren, let me say this, that God has begun a miracle today. And it is taking place. But the miracle is not of God. He says the miracle of unity has begun. And more, what do we see? We see churches and church leaders in so-called Protestant churches coming back to Rome, joining hands with the Pope. You see, there is a movement taking place to unite not only Christian denominations, but all religions. And we see the Pope rising up. Now, I'm not saying he's the false prophet. But I am saying we see the stage being set for a one world religion. Kenneth Copeland, after the presentation, made himself willingly available to visit the Pope. And in the end, he did. He did visit him. So did Joel Osteen. So did Rick Warren. And these men are just an example of the apostasy that's taking place. It seems like so-called Christians, if they are Christians, have forgotten the history of the Catholic Church. have forgotten the fact that they executed Bible-believing Christians. And they would still do it today, mind you, if they had the power. But guess what? One day they will have the power once again. One day the revived Roman Empire and the revived Roman religion, the one world religion, will execute everyone that does not believe in that one God. But let me say this evening that the ecumenical movement is taking place right now. People coming back to Rome, casting aside important doctrinal differences for the sake of unity. And by the way, the Pope is embracing other religions as well. Not just other denominations, but he's saying to other religions, Islam, he's saying, come and join us, the Orthodox Church. Let's hold hands. There's ecumenical services taking place more and more as time, as the years go on. We see the evidence of the ecumenical movement. We see it here in Cairns. You know, the ecumenical movement is alive and flourishing. And it's in fact lifted up and said, hey, you need to join and hold hands with us. And church family, we need to be careful with what we get involved in. You know, the Cairns Christian Ministers Network met for their first meeting where? Do you remember the slideshow presentation we saw? They met at St. Monica's Catholic Cathedral right here in town, at the Catholic Church. And there they were lined up on the front. And Adam Zafer, the pastor of the Living Waters Charismatic Church, he's the president of the Ministers Network. He spoke. And then the Lieutenant Darren Kingston from the Salvo spoke. And of course the father, the priest of the church, gave the final benediction. I think that's a great example of the ecumenical apostasy that's taking place today. Not just overseas, right here in the city of Cairns. And as God's people, we need to be alert and aware and warned and separated, because 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, there is a great deception taking place, and it is not under the power of God per se, it is under the power of whom? The devil. You see, the false prophet will be empowered by Satan to bring about this so-called miracle of uniting the world in a one world religion. And the stage is being set for that miracle to happen. Amen. Barriers and walls are being broken down. Walls of doctrine that have been built up by true, born-again, Bible-believing Christians are being torn down by their apostate, unsaved children. That's what's happening in the world. And brethren, we need to understand, this is the world we live in. A dangerous world. That's why we've been looking on Sunday nights at the apostasy of the last days. The Bible speaks about seducing spirits. There is a seduction and an attractiveness to coming together all as one. Perhaps you've even thought to yourself, well, why don't we join with others? And look, the differences probably are not as important as us working together to have a combined witness. That's what the Cairns Christian Ministers Network says. We need to have a combined witness in the city of Cairns. But then what about what we believe? You see, the Bible doesn't say to cast away our differences. It says to cast away those that differ from the doctrine which we have learned. That's what God says. God says, don't cast away the differences. Cast away those that differ. You need to separate yourselves from them. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. And avoid them. You see this movement of joining together, casting aside differences, not worrying about the differences that indeed separate us, is a movement preparing for the end days. The rise of the false prophet. Let me encourage you, church family, to be alert and to be aware of what's taking place. Beware of the question which comes up perhaps in your mind, well, what's the problem working together? I know they're a little bit different from us, but what's the issue? What's wrong with it? Well, we need to ask the hard question, what's right with it? Amen? Do we really know what they believe? Just because they call themselves Christians, do they believe the same thing about how someone is saved? Amen? foundational truth of salvation. The Catholic Church does not believe what the Bible says about salvation. So how are all these so-called Christian leaders holding hands with the Catholic Church? Well, what are they doing? They're casting aside the foundational faith of salvation. They're casting aside their doctrines. And that's what happens if we, as individuals or as a church, begin to hold hands with those in the flow of apostasy. They won't change. We will have to change. We will have to shift and go down the same path. You see, there is an agenda to this ecumenical movement. And ultimately, it is to bring all together, not to worship the one true God, but to worship the God of this world. That is the false prophet's ministry in the last days. Well, I hope you've seen this evening that in his personality, he is a wolf in sheep's clothing, is he not? You need to understand false prophets are identified not by their looks, but by their words. Then we've seen his power. His power is given unto him to unite the world in a one world religion. And that is taking place, my friends, today. Thirdly, notice the performance of the false prophet. The performance. Now, let me say this. The false prophet knows how to put on a show. Amen? He knows how to draw a crowd. He knows how to get people's attention. Look at his miracles in verse number 13. Revelation 13, verse 13, the Bible says, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of all men." What do you say to that? What a miracle! He brings fire down from heaven to earth in the sight of all men. That is amazing. Imagine if you and I were standing there. What would we think? What would we assume that miracle is from? What would we assume about such a man? Well, automatically, most of us would assume he must be a man from God. I mean, who else could do such a miracle? Amen? Absolutely. That's what the world will think. And you see, perhaps if you know your Bibles, Elijah called down fire from heaven. And we understand that the two witnesses also did the same. Now, can you see something very important this evening? That the false prophet will be a man of incredible miracles. Incredible miracles. And people will fall on their faces and say, "This is a prophet of God. This is a prophet of God." Notice verse number 14. "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." So we see that these miracles, the motive behind these miracles, is to continue to draw the world to worship the Antichrist, to deceive the world that the Antichrist is indeed God and they are to worship him. The Bible tells us here in verse 14 that the false prophet will lead the world to build an idol, an image, a statue of the Antichrist. Notice in verse 15. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak." Can you imagine? This statue, this idol of the Antichrist will come alive. Great miracles will be seen. The world will be deceived. That image will speak, the Bible says, "and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." You see, the world will be deceived by these miracles. The world will be drawn into worshipping the devil, listen very carefully, by these miracles. These will be amazing miracles. They will be real. They won't be fake. They won't be just recorded in a studio on TV and broadcast throughout the world. They will be real. If you are there, you will be able to see them for yourselves. There won't be any denying that that miracle took place. But let me say this evening, these miracles will not be from God. They will be from the devil himself. Can you see that this evening? Very plain. Very simple. His miracles will deceive the world. So what can we learn tonight from the rising up of the false prophet and what is to come? I hope you can see very simply this evening that it is no secret, listen carefully, Satan can work miracles. Is that right? That's what we've learned, very simply. Satan can work miracles. He has the power to deceive by those very miracles. So then we need to be careful in the day in which we live, do we not, about where we put our faith. You see, a false prophet is also identified by his so-called miracles. And let me say this, not every miracle that takes place in the ministry of a false prophet is false. There are miracles taking place, but they're not from God. That's the reality. And we need to be careful because Satan is at work today to deceive, and people are being deceived. See, our world is being prepared for the last days. The world is being prepared for the rise of the false prophet. Many are looking for miracles and signs and visions. They are not looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not looking for a savior from sin. They are looking for a sign. They are looking for a vision. They are looking for evidence. And many miracles are taking place, but they are not from the Lord. Let me read you a couple of examples. In 1995, the news swept around the world of the extraordinary miracles of milk-drinking Hindu statues. Milk-drinking Hindu statues. Now, never before in history, journalists say, has a simultaneous miracle occurred on such a global scale. Television, radio, newspapers eagerly covered this unique phenomenon. Even skeptical journalists held their milk-filled spoons up to these idols of stone and watched, and they were humbled as the milk miraculously disappeared. You see, there are miracles taking place, but you see, not every miracle is from God. That's what we need to understand. How about the weeping statue of Mary that weeps blood from her eyes? Have you heard about that before? Absolutely. In fact, there are many shrines all around the world where so-called miracles are taking place. And I believe they do happen. But I don't believe they're from the Lord. A 6-inch high porcelain statue of Mary began weeping tears of blood. The liquid staining the image is genuinely blood and human at that. The coroner's office pronounced the substance as type O human blood. The statue weeps regularly, particularly in the presence of children. The Guardian, dated December 4th, 1992. You see, there is a great deception taking place. And people are easily deceived when they don't seek the Lord by faith, but they seek the Lord by signs. They seek the Lord by dreams and visions. And my point is this evening, as we understand that false prophets exist today, and we understand that the apostasy of the day is at full speed, leading up to the great apostasy during the tribulation and the rise of the false prophet and a one world religion, miracles also will take place to steal the faith of those in this world today, to direct their faith not to the Lord, but to the miracle maker. To direct their faith not to God, but to the signs and to the visions and to the message of one performing those miracles. You see, modern false prophets also follow the pattern of the false prophet in the last days. Many so-called miracles are taking place in churches. False prophets engage in signs, in healing, in speaking in tongues, in holy laughter, casting out demons, making prophecies that are in addition to what the Bible says. That's taking place today, is it not? Absolutely. These so-called miracles. And in fact, many popular charismatic preachers claim to be prophets themselves, not declaring the Word of God, but receiving direct revelation from the Lord. Benny Hinn is one of them. He's a self-proclaimed prophet. He claims to perform miracles. What does the Bible tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11? Let's look there together. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Look with me in verses 13 to 14. Now remember, God's word warns us. Warns us, be careful. Understand the spiritual reality of the world you live in. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Verses 13 and 14. Let's read these verses out loud together. On two. One, two. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. If you've never seen that verse before, mark it down, circle it, record it in the Bible. My friends, the Bible tells us that the devil is a master in miracles. He can transform himself into an angel of light, and false prophets, false teachers can transform themselves into someone that looks like a Christian, sounds like a Christian, but they are sent from the devil himself. Amen. Amen? So we need to beware. We need to be careful. Don't be fooled. The Bible says, as God's people, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, God performs miracles. Absolutely. What about the miracle of a soul being saved? Amen? In fact, what about the miracle of someone standing at the door willing to listen to the gospel? That is an absolute miracle. The Holy Spirit is at work in that person's life. They want to hear the message of salvation. That's a miracle. What about answers to our prayers? You know, God's a miracle maker. Absolutely. But don't be fooled when it comes to the devil's signs, the devil's visions, to lure away even some of God's people into false doctrine. You see, the devil is at work. He's the power behind these miracles. And the sole purpose of the false prophet is to get the world to worship someone else other than God. Can you see that this evening? Doesn't point back to God. His miracles don't point back to God. You know where Benny Hinn's miracles point back to? The man himself. Absolutely. 100%. He receives the riches. He receives the glory. He receives the power. He receives the praise for his wisdom. It sounds like something that should be directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he alone is worthy. But what do these miracles glorify? They do not glorify the Lord, they glorify a man, a movement, a religion, a club, a group, whatever you want to call it. You see, miracles are satanic also. The Bible says, in fact, that the world will fall for this deception. I trust you're not falling for it this evening. Amen? I trust you're not being fooled. And you're being discerning. What does the Word of God say? What should be our foundation? Amen. If you wake up and you had a vivid dream, that's all it was. A vivid dream. The thoughts of your past and perhaps movies you've watched and shouldn't have and perhaps things you've heard all meshed into a nighttime sleep and they come out. But my friend, a dream is just a dream. God doesn't speak to us in dreams or visions anymore. He speaks to us through the Holy Word of God. Those sign gifts have ended. They had a purpose. They have no purpose today. We have His Word. Don't be deceived, Christian. Thankfully, there will be a faithful remnant in the tribulation that will not be deceived. In fact, they will refuse to bow down to the Antichrist. And what does the Bible say? Those who will not, notice in the book of the Revelation, those who will not bow down and worship the beast, verse 15, should be killed. Should be killed. Those who refuse to worship the Antichrist will be hunted down and put to death for their rejection in the tribulation. The satanic movement is on the increase today. The personality, power, performance. Lastly, let me conclude with verses 16 to 18, the persecution of the false prophet. The Bible says here, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And here's one of the great mysteries and controversies of the book of the Revelation, the mark of the beast. You see, at the end of the day, what is all this leading to? It is leading to what Satan has wanted all along. Worship and control. Worship and control. You see, those that receive him, Satan marks them. Absolutely. He controls them. That is his desire. Here we see the Bible tells us that those who worship the beast will receive a mark of ownership in their hand, in their right hand, or in their forehead. Now, this will be a visible mark identifying the fact that they have given their allegiance to the beast, to the Antichrist, to this one world leader. And notice in verse 17, those who do not have the mark, who refuse the mark of the beast, will be instantly recognized and they will suffer horrific persecution. Verse 17 says, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." You see, for believers in this day, it'll be a horrific time. Horrific. Imagine as a mothers, going to a shop, wanting to buy some bread for your children, for your family. Dads, imagine going out shopping, going to get something to eat. And remember, during the tribulation, what will be taking place? There will be famine, disease, war, hunger. There will be a famine unlike the world has ever seen. Everyone will be surviving on starvation rations already. And the food will be rationed out to everyone that has a mark. But those who do not will be turned away, will be rejected. They won't be able to buy. They won't be able to sell. Can you imagine the horrific persecution of these believers? And I wonder what some of us might do in that, if we were there in that day. What would we do for the faith? Amen? I think that would be the day to come will certainly show who is a true believer and who is not. Who is actually saved and who is not. You know, these believers will say, "I love the Lord more than my own life." And they love not their lives unto the death. You see, horrific persecution will take place. And brethren, let me say this. Thank God we don't live in such a day. Thank God we have the freedom to buy and sell. Don't take that for granted. Amen? Don't take it for granted that you can witness to anyone at any time in any way. Amen? You can witness. How much more our lives should be surrendered, understanding the wonderful freedom and privileges that we have. Those in the day of the tribulation will not have such privileges. They will starve. They will be persecuted. They will be put to death. These believers will pay a great price with their very lives, but they will be greatly rewarded. Amen. The moment they breathe their last breath, they will see that it was worth it all in the presence of the Lord. They will be greatly rewarded. Now, I won't spend much time this evening on the mark of the beast. There has been endless speculation on what this mark will be. But let me say this. We know already, don't we, that we are headed toward a cashless society. For those of you who are a little bit older, you would remember where cash was the thing. You bought everything with cash, sold everything with cash. Now today, we have cards. We have phones you can purchase products with your identity on them. And you can purchase products and goods without money anymore. I wonder how long it will be before money disappears, before cash disappears, and the card is all that's left. I wonder how long it will be before that card is no longer a card, but is an imprint in our bodies. I wonder how long it will be before the world will move forward in this direction. Let me say this, we are already moving forward. These technologies are being tested. These technologies are being tried. The world is desiring a technologically advanced reality. You see, the mark of the beast is part of that plan. Why? Because Satan's goal is to control. To control. To imprison. To put in bondage. That is who he is. Verse number 18, lastly, "Here is wisdom, that him that that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. Well, one thing we do know, this mark of the beast, this mark of the Antichrist will bear his number, 666. Now, the number of man is the number 6, and this number here, 666, reveals the true nature of the Antichrist. And I believe it's a number that will ultimately mock God. You see, the world will receive him, and he will not hide his true nature, and yet they will still worship him. 666. And yet the devil comes up short, does he not? You see, the number 7 is the number of perfection. It is the number of God. And the number of man, the number of the Antichrist, is 666. let me assure you this. Though the Lord is in control, though the devil will allow to have his way for a season, the Lord is still on the throne. The devil is an imitator. He is a mocker of God. And his goal is to cause men to worship him. And let me say this, false prophets follow the same pattern. That's what we've seen this evening. The false prophet to come will be a wolf in sheep's clothing. He'll look good on the outside, but inside he is controlled by the devil himself. His words give him away. Be on guard, church family, on what you hear, what you see, what you read. Amen? We are in the last days. And we also see the power of the devil, the power of the false prophet is not from God. Amazing miracles, amazing, convincing, believable, but yet they're not from God. They're from the devil. To do what? To direct worship towards Satan. And then the unification of a one world religion. The longer time goes by, the more pressure we will receive as a local New Testament church to join in hand with the churches around us. I do not know what persecution will come, but let me assure you, that is not a movement from God. That is not a movement from God. When the Lord comes, he will unite. In fact, he will divide. He will divide the sheep from the goats. That's what he will do. That's what the Lord will do. My friends, this ecumenical movement is not from the Lord. And it is taking place today. Beware. Who you hold hands with. Where you go. What you listen to. Because though we are saved, the devil wants to sidetrack us. So we will not preach the gospel. We will not see souls saved. Amen? We've got a job to do. And we need to stay with it. Because the Bible tells us, well, what does all this all mean for us here in Revelation chapter 13? Well, the time is at hand. We need to be watching. The stage is being set. We can see already in all these areas, these steps are taking place. False prophets abound. The time is at hand. We have no time to waste, church family. And we need to be warned of the false prophets that are existing today. We need to be on guard against the apostasy of the last day. We need to separate from error, and we need to be witnesses. We need to be witnesses. Amen? To tell others that Jesus saves. The rise of the Antichrist and the rise of the false prophet. May the Lord help us to be watching and waiting till he comes.